So we're rolling right now, so we can cuss and everything. We're taping, so you can cuss and do whatever you feel like, Ronnie. Get it all out of your system, okay?
Well, I'm going to warn you. I'm on my second cup of coffee.
Bring it.
It's strong.
Bring it.
It's strong coffee. I'm using the rest of this coffee to seal coat my driveway. That's how strong this stuff is.
Are you a rocket fuel kind of guy?
Oh, you know, it's probably my only bad vice.
So when you see people go to like some of the Starbucks and Tim Hortons and stuff, and they get the double latte with the French vanilla whip and all that stuff, does it just make your eyes just twitch?
I'll roll in the back of my head and go, "Oh, brother."
Well, that's always wondering. Like, well, just real quick, when you guys are, because of the hours you work, which is not a normal shift for most people, we don't start working, really doing our full time gig until 8 o'clock at night. So do you need you know
you
what I mean?
Dead on.
Right. I don't think we understand that. We don't get that, Ronnie. We're like, what do you mean he's not going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and come in the studio? What the hell?
Jim, honest to God truth, I got rolling in my music room last night at about 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't quit till 3 in the morning.
It used to
and
be like...
I mean, I rolled over in bed, and I'm like, I looked at the clock, and I'm like, holy crap, I got interviews in like 30 minutes.
Right. I agreed to what?
So
what
like,
did I agree to?
Right down to the coffee pot, you know. Fill the basket.
There's a great story about a late night thing that Peter Wolf is legendary for. He'll record with you and do stuff, but it's in the middle of the night because he doesn't work during the sunlight hours, and neither does Keith Richards. So they'll do like guest things, and he said Keith would show up like at 3 o'clock in the morning going, I'm ready to do this. Let's do this.
Right. Well, you've heard of the studio tan, right? Pasty white.
So I was thinking about you too, Ronnie. By the way, Ronnie's joining us. Kansas is going to be at Caesars Coliseum on Sunday night. I love that venue. And maybe there's two things. The last show I went to was Cheap Trick at Caesars Windsor.
And oh, my buddies, Cheap Trick.
Love them. They were giving me crap, Ronnie, because that was the first time I'd been to Canada.
Really?
I know. Thank you. I live on the border. We live here. And I mean, it's not like, and I don't know why I was nervous about going over the bridge or going across the border. When I was a kid, my dad took me to the drive-in theater. I'm not, this isn't a lie. When I was young, we went to see Midnight Express.
Okay.
About the Turkish prison. So,
yeah.
And all they did
okay.
was cover my eyes and cover my ears for most of the movie. My hands would get slapping over my eyes during scenes. But in my mind, if you drove over to a foreign country, that's what was going to happen to you.
Badges, we don't need no stinking badges. You're welcome to our country. Wait a second. That's the other border.
So Rick's on stage going, where's Big Jim? And I wave from the crowd, and he's like, that's the guy who's been here 18 years and never come over the border. I'm like, thanks, Rick. Appreciate that. He called me out at his concert. But I was going to say, the thing that I love about Caesars Windsor, A, is the sound. It sounds great. And B, it's comfortable. The seating when you're there, you have room to sit down. You got room in front of you. You don't feel like you have to cross your legs like you're sitting Indian style in kindergarten. It's a very comfortable venue. And I wonder if it's like that for you guys on stage as well.
Well, you know, the kudos there go to our crew because they work their butts off and they make sure things are perfect for us every single time, regardless of the environment we're in. So, I mean, I have not been to this theater. So,
oh, you have? This is great, Ronnie. You're going to love it. I really want you to let us know afterwards.
I've heard great things about it, though. And Jim, I got to tell you, I got a Canada story for you.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, I had a band, Drama, and we played Yes music. And I never really ventured out of the Chicagoland area until I was in this band. And we ended up playing, doing a few really small, like, you know, 5-7, I think a couple times it was 10-day tours in Canada. And it really gave me a new respect and understanding why so many incredible musicians come out of Canada. And it's because they really take their music serious up there. And I don't mean not only the fans, but the people who are working these venues up in Canada, they're, I mean, from the production guys to the lighting guys, they all were just really into their job, and it really gave me a respect for them. But I will say that the very first trip that we did up there, we did play a lot of strip joints. So,
do you remember the names of the strip joints?
Oh my God. Okay. Wait a second. I know, oh my God, because we started in Toronto. I remember the name of the bar in Toronto was called Heavens.
I love that. We have one here on Telegraph Road called Chateau Vert.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it means, but it sounds fancy.
Chateau Vert.
Right, Chateau Vert.
Did they leave the per?
Oh, damn it. I owe you a dollar because I'm stealing that line. Okay. You just did 710 for Monday. Yeah, I owe you a buck, Ron.
Okay, I'll give you an address for royalty.
Okay, fine. So. Yeah, whatever. And yeah, the other one is Bazookies in Greektown. That's one, Bazookies.
Ah, Bazookies. Yeah. Okay.
I DJ'd one night at a long time ago at a male strip club called the Golden Banana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't say I've ever heard of that one. Okay. I'm not saying anything, Jim. But,
you just judge the hell out of me, Ronnie. I can hear that through the phone.
To each, you know what? We all fly our own kite. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
wink, wink.
Mine's anyway. Shaped like a banana, apparently. So there you go. Ronnie Clabber.
Okay.
Moving on
to the music industry.
I want to talk to you about doing gigs, too. Something I was, you know, you've been with the band since 2014, right?
Yeah, I'm about to celebrate my 5-year anniversary, and it's crazy because I couldn't tell you where the last 5 years have gone. I think I haven't done the numbers exactly, but I think I've surpassed my 400th show as the lead singer of Kansas. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome, but isn't that a testament that, you know, don't we always tell our friends and family, I tell my kids, whatever you're going to do for a living, find something you really enjoy because you're going to spend a lot of your life doing it. By you saying what you just said, Ronnie, these 5 years with Kansas, you're having a blast. That's what it means, right?
Yeah. You know, well, this band just doesn't stop working. And I don't mean just doing shows. This band rehearses constantly. When we're not rehearsing, we're doing shows. When we're not doing that, we're writing music for new studio album. We're in the process of doing a new studio album.
Good.
We did the Prelude Implicit, and then, you know, then we did Left Overture Live and Beyond. So, I mean, Phil and Rich, Phil Lee Hart, Rich Williams of Kansas, original founding members, now going into their 47th year of Kansas. Wrap your mind around that. Pretty cool. But for them to still want to put out new original studio music of, you know, underneath that Kansas name, it really is an amazing thing. And it's something that I never expected, you know, getting the job in this band. I thought, wow, I'm going to be singing all these, you know, classic Kansas songs that I've loved my entire life. I never expected Kansas to be, you know, I have a desire to still put out new music. You know, it's just an amazing thing.
It is that comfort level. And I was thinking about you as well, Ronnie. Again, for everybody, Caesars Coliseum this Sunday night, Kansas in concert. If you haven't been there, folks, it's fantastic. You can get right over there. You'll be home. I mean, it's a wonderful gig. I found a video on YouTube, and I didn't know if it was true or not. They had tagged underneath it, your first show with Kansas at the Oklahoma State Fair. Does that sound right?
That is 100% correct.
Okay, so when you go out on stage, and I remember talking to Neil Sean Journey about this, when Arnel Pineda joined them, the very first gig they did was in Rio, and they brought him out in front of like 100,000 people. But the funny part was they did a song called Edge of the Blade. If you know Journey, it's this really badass rock song with this huge soaring vocals and this big guitar riff.
You've been trying very hard. Now this time you've gone too far. I know that song very well. I could sing that song right now.
It's a great song. So that's what they threw at him. So here you are. You go out on stage. You're fronting Kansas for the first time. What was the first song they had you do?
It was our very first song was People of the Southland.
See, again, that's a home run pitch. That's a big swing.
Yeah, a popular tune, an up-tempo tune. So it was good to do an up-tempo tune, you know, to kind of like, you know, get the nervousness out of the system. But it's so wild because I have two different perspectives. It seems like the past 5 years have gone by like 5 months. And in the other perspective I have, it seems like I've always been here. It's just gotten such commonplace to be doing this and be doing it constantly. It seems like I've always been here in certain aspects. So it's really two sides of the coin. But boy, that I think of that now, and it seems like it was. It seems like it was 20 years ago, and it was only 5 years ago.
So I have two questions. Were you nervous, A, and then B, were you looking at Rich and Phil at all during the show, like maybe like a kid looking at his dad for affirmation during a baseball game?
I looked at Phil a couple times with that look on my face of, they're going to kill me! No. Why?
Why'd you do this to me, Dad?
Oh, my God. I'm not wearing ice skates right now, just so you know.
Okay.
Why? Anyway. At that same time, Dave Mannion joined the band the same time I did. So I had a brother in arms there going through the same, you know, nervousness. So that was kind of cool, but
I love it. Yeah, I love it, man.
It was a lot of fun, and you know what? It's one thing that I'm extremely thankful for because, boy, I've watched some stuff on other guys. The Kansas fans really have embraced me and accepted me into the family really from day one. Have you seen the documentary Hired Gun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you imagine Brad Gillis taking over for Randy Rhoads and Ozzy's band? The audience was not kind to him.
No, they were not.
Oh, my God. And the same, you know, the same thing. It's so funny. Before my first show, I saw Behind the Music with Styx, and they were interviewing Lawrence, who took Dennis DeYoung's place in the band. And the audience was not kind to him. He said even a year into the band, you know, people in the audience were, you know, flipping him off going, where's Dennis, you know? And thank God, I never experienced anything like that.
Well, and that's the music of Kansas, you talk about, I remember like the first time I heard Point of No Return, it's intricate music too. It's not and not a knock on like straightforward rock. We all love straightforward rock and roll, but what you guys do, especially do it live, there's a lot of layers to that onion.
Hey, you mentioned Cheap Trick. Love those guys. Love their music. But you know what? Cheap Trick music and Kansas music. There's a level of intensity there and just constant parts layered over one another, one right after another, and crazy, you know, are there any songs that are really 4-4 all the way through? Not really. It's very intense, involved music. Nothing against my Cheap Trick brothers, love their stuff, but Kansas music is very intense. So, and Jim, can I hear you sing the bridge of Point of No Return? Can you belt that out for me?
I have a tenor voice. 10 or 12 miles away, it sounds a lot better. You don't want that. Yeah, they take two offerings at church, man. One so I don't sing.
Jim, can you sing that one song for me? I believe it's Far, Far Away.
You haven't heard me sing Fight Fire with Fire. That's my jam in my car. And I do. I blast
really?
It all the time. Oh, that is one of the greatest. If you are feeling down and you need to work out and you can't get motivated, if you don't get motivated playing Fight Fire with Fire. Oh, my kid's 15. He loves that song. But I sing in the car and I sound like someone ran over my toes.
Oh, my God. That's great.
That's such a jam. You know what? Hey, real quick, I heard Kansas and I completely forgot about this. I went on this tangent with Henry Winkler. Now, he's in that show Barry that's on HBO on Sunday nights, which is awesome. Okay. Okay. So Henry Winkler. And I started going like, what movie's Henry Winkler in? So I started going back through some of the stuff from the 70s. The movie Heroes, where about a Vietnam veteran coming back. It's got Sally Field, Henry Winkler's in it. In the soundtrack is Kansas and Carry On Wayward Son.
Really?
And I remember being 12 years old in a movie theater going to see that movie and not understanding really what it meant to be a veteran coming back at the time and what they dealt with. And it's a very powerful movie. But, man, I remember hearing that song from Kansas in the movie. Isn't that weird where your music pops up?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
To me, not to age, you know, you think of Henry Winkler, you think, hey, the Fonz.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's called Heroes. It was a 78. I had to look it up. Sally Field. I don't remember who else was in the movie, if someone's listening right now. But, yeah. And it was Kansas. Okay, I got to ask you a question. We got Ronnie Platt on the phone. Kansas classic, Sunday Night, Caesars Windsor. Someone comes up to you and they've never heard a song from Kansas in their life. And they go, all right, well, you're the lead singer. What's the one song you're going to play for them? You go, this is Kansas. This is what you have to listen to.
Oh, it's Wayward Son. You know, there's a reason why Wayward Son is the second most requested classic rock song of all time. And I think it's only second to Stairway to Heaven by Zepp. So, you know, it really, to me, it epitomizes Kansas. You know, you've got that massive a cappella vocal beginning right into ripping guitars. But then there's, you know, the verse comes in and it's just vocals and piano. So it really shows the dynamics of the band, you know, ripping guitars, bringing it down, you know, and building to this massive climactic ending. It's really a good representation of Kansas in the whole.
So you guys, with the new music you're working on too, obviously Kansas sound is that Kansas sound. Do you still aspire to maybe some of those big numbers like that, the big production pieces and some of the new stuff?
You know, that's one of the things I always say, you know, Zach Risby, guitar player extraordinaire, and also our main music writer now, Zach and myself, we always get asked the question, you know, do you write Kansas music, you know, keeping Kansas in mind? And no, we don't, not really, because, you know, you're a product of your influences, right?
Right.
So it's funny how I don't have any conscious direction whatsoever writing a Kansas song. When I write a song, I can't help but have elements of Kansas in it because my entire life I've been so influenced by Kansas. So that flavor comes out in you.
So on my notes here, it does say, though, Ronnie Platt, lead and backing vocals. Now, you don't do that at the same time, right? You're not, like, singing the lead, then you do, and you run away and sing something in the back, like, I close my eyes, drop of water, and then you do it back and forth like that?
If I could do that, I'm putting it on YouTube today.
Be like a ventriloquist lead singer for Kansas.
Right. You know, I'm going to leave Kansas. I'm going to do a Jeff Dunham thing.
That's it. Ronnie Platt and Peanut. It's going to work, man. I'm telling you.
I'm going to get a beer. Yeah.
That's the one. You get the old grumpy guy. It's Ronnie Platt on a stick. No, that doesn't sound right. Never mind. That'd be great.
Okay. We'll edit that one out.
Oh, I know. But Ronnie, man, we
no, I'm kidding.
It's cool. I love talking to you, man, and I love what you guys are doing. And like you said, and so many people, like, I hope there's a point now with classic rock that we have all gotten past the, well, he's not with the band anymore. They're not with the band anymore. Who cares? That's like saying, if I took pickles off a Big Mac, I'm never going to need a Big Mac again. I want to hear the music, and I want to hear the people that love the music, and you love the music, and Phil, and Rich, and Billy, and David, and Zach. You love Kansas, and damn it, that's what I want to hear.
Jim, this is how I equate this. You know what? I'm a huge Chicago Bear fan.
Prayers. Okay.
And, you know, back in the 80s, when the, you know, back in, let's see, I think it was the was it Neanderthal Man times or something when the Bears were in the Super Bowl last?
Yeah, dinosaurs ruled the earth. Yep, yep. That was
the
moment.
You think of the 85 Bears, you know, and just how great they were, and it's like none of those guys are on the team anymore. That was decades ago. So, but I'm still a fan of the Bears, and I know I'm in a very unique club, being, you know, the lead singer of Kansas, but you've got Kelly Hansen fronting Foreigner now, who's killing it.
Absolutely.
You've got Arnell with Journey, who's killing it. You got Tommy DiCarlo singing for Boston, who is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, great singers. There's a reason why these individuals have gotten into these bands. It's because their level of talent justifies them being in that band and carrying along that product that they're representing. You know, it's like the Chicago Bears. They're going after the best players they can. The guys that make the team are the best players possible. Well, it's the same thing in these bands. You've got new members, but they're really the best at what they do, and they're chosen because they have the talent to keep that name going.
Yeah. They're worthy of the brand or to wear that badge.
They're yeah. worthy of the brand. That's the best way to put it. And let me tell you, you know, we've done shows with Foreigner, and I don't think anyone in Foreigner is original, right?
No. Mick may show up occasionally, but not full time.
Yeah. Mick's
a couple gigs off and on, but
80% retirement now, yeah. Right? Mick Jones, gee, there's a guy who's written a couple of good songs.
Just
huh?
a couple.
Jeez. I remember looking at their set list, and I'm like, oh my God, giant hit, all the way down the set list, giant hit. I mean,
dude,
really an incredible
band.
It's
you guys Sunday night, man. I mean, when folks come out to see you in Kansas at Caesars Windsor, you're going to hear all these hits and all these songs with all these memories, and you're going to nail it, dude.
And I have to tell you, don't miss the show, people, if you're in the area. Kansas is just absolutely on fire now, and the level of musicianship in this band is the best you're going to see. And just, I mean, strap yourself in, squeegee yourself off, put on safety glasses if you need them, because, I mean, we're just going to light the stage on fire.
I've never heard a concert spot where Kansas one night only, squeegee yourself off. I'm kidding.
I'm telling you. It's bordering on a religious experience, let me tell you.
Done. And we'll have since you mentioned the Bears, I'll have a Detroit Lions opening act for you. Joey Harrington Sucks will be the name of the band. So we're going to bring them. Yeah. We still haven't let that go. Thanks for bringing up the Bears to us there, Ronnie. Nice way to end the interview. So, hey, man, you're the best. Congratulations on everything. Keep doing what you're doing. KansasBand.com is the website. There's so much great stuff. It's fun talking to you, and we'll see you Sunday night at Caesars Windsor.
Jim, see ya. Man, Sunday night. I mean, right here. I mean, this Sunday.
Right over the Motor City River. No, the Detroit River. I see I haven't got the river wrong. Damn it. I need more coffee. I need what you're drinking, dude.
You'd be buzzing if you're drinking what I'm drinking. Coffee, then.
Amen, buddy. And it's great talking to you, Ronnie. All the best. We'll see you soon.
Same here, man. See you Sunday.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.